I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. The debut album of award-winning Broadway star Janet DeKalb is out now, My Standards. It features 11 tracks, songs we all know and love, songs that Ms. DeKalb grew up with and has now infused with a Cuban-American flair. She joins me now to talk about the album, performing, and what these songs mean to her. They are It Don't Mean a Thing, Orange Colored Sky, performed with Olivia C. DeKalb, Be True to Me, My Funny Valentine, L-O-V-E, Fever, Tenderly, Moon Dance with Javier Muñez, Begin the Begin, I've Got Rhythm, and Sabor a Mi. Janet DeKalb has starred in several Broadway productions, most recently Prince of Broadway, the final show directed by the legendary Harold Prince, Wonderland by Frank Wildhorn, and In the Heights, originating the role of Carla on and off Broadway. She later returned to the show to play Nina Rosario. Before the whole world shut down due to caution over COVID-19, Ms. DeKalb was starring in the national tour of the band's Visit. I asked her about performing in the Tony Award-winning musical and what she does to cultivate her remarkable belting voice and how she fills her time during the coronavirus pandemic. This new album is from Ghostlight Records, and the website for more is at janetdekalb.com. She joined me from Florida last week. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Janet DeKalb. Ms. DeKalb, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. The title of the album is My Standards. What does that mean in relation to these songs and your relationship to them?
Well, the title for the album came very clearly to me very early on when I sort of had the idea for this project. They're my version of these standards. The album is a fusion of Latin genres with the American standards, and that's very much who I am. So there you have My Standards.
Yeah. Are these songs in particular, are they ones that you say grew up with?
Yes, absolutely. I grew up listening to all kinds of music, really. My house was a very diversely filled music home.
Yeah.
And I was the musical theater and jazz advocate at home. And so these are all songs that I have been listening to throughout my life for a very long time. So they certainly did influence me.
Yeah, these are songs that I like, too. And as I was, before I listened to the album, I was reading the list of the tracks. And I thought to myself, you know, I've heard Tenderly, for example, so many times before. I was wondering, you know, how you would go about performing it. And I have to say, you just make them so fresh. There's such a unique and modern take on them. For people listening, how would you describe the sound that you bring to them?
Well, it's certainly a culmination of different musical genres in the Latin realm that are influencing the arrangements of these American standards. My parents are Cuban, and even within the Cuban music genre, there are so many different styles of music. And so when I connected with the principal arranger of the album, he is a bit of a musicologist, and so he has all of these different sub-genres. He's very knowledgeable in the world of Cuban music and also is a fan of the American songbook. Mm-hmm. So when I sort of presented this idea to him, one of the first songs that he arranged as a demo was It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. And it was like he was in my head and was able to hear and create the sound that I was hoping we could come together to create. And so as we went through the development of the album, we wanted to make sure to sort of tap into as many sub-genres within the Latin world as we could. And I think he did a beautiful job of executing that.
Yeah, and there are Begin the Begin. I mean, I love that song, and the way that you do it, just with percussion alone, It is, you know, it's one of those songs that you have to go back and listen to again and again, and then every time you listen to it, there's something new that you get out of it that you just didn't hear the first time, say.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, that arrangement was done by my drummer.
Uh-huh.
He came up with all of the percussion and the drumming on that, and again, was, you know, I'm very lucky that I have access to some pretty incredible musicians that were able to really capture and execute the ideas that I have in mind.
Uh-huh.
And so, that was arranged by a gentleman named Alexis Pututiarte, who is an incredible drummer from Cuba, but has also toured with Arturo Sandoval as his principal drummer. So, you know, when you get the right group of musicians together, some real magic can happen.
It also sounds, Janet, that you're having fun as you're recording it, are you?
Absolutely. I mean, this is certainly a heart project, and it took quite some time to come to fruition. So the fact that it's a real thing out in the world is sort of miraculous to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly personally lean towards joyful music, and Cuban music is very much that. With all the percussion and the horns, it really lends itself to it being a sort of party. And so that was absolutely an element that I was hoping to capture in the arrangement.
On the song Orange Colored Sky, you perform with Olivia DeCal. Who is she?
That's my 14-year-old niece.
Uh-huh.
She is a very talented singer. It's been really a beautiful relationship that we've created as family members. We very much connect on the music. That's the thing that sort of binds us.
Yeah.
And very early on, she demonstrated an ability to, she had incredible pitch. That was her first time in a recording studio.
Really?
And she, oh my goodness, she came back. She was like, she calls me Tia J, which is aunt in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
So J for Janet. So she's like, Tia J, I know you sent me some harmonies to do, but can I do my own? So she came back with this beautiful arrangement of harmonies that she completely created on her own.
Wow.
And I was actually following her vocal guide to get her sensibility on that track. So she's an artist in her own right, and having her on this album means so much to me. The fact that she is one of the artists on there and we're able to share that experience is really something very, very special for me and my family.
Yeah, it's a wonderful recording. You've been described as a belter, on this album in particular, a lot of moments are where you let loose and it's quite moving. It seems effortless, but obviously it's not. How do you do it so you don't hurt yourself?
Well, I have an incredible vocal, I call him my vocal sensei. I call him sensei, and he's my vocal coach, and I was lucky. He was very generous with his time and sat with me in the studio, and we just sort of, you know, I know because these songs are so known, and what I was hoping to bring to them was very specific. Many times these songs are not belted out, you know, and
mm-hmm.
so I wanted to make sure that I was showing all of my ability in creating these songs and making them my own. And he was really wonderful in sort of guiding me in making sure that I was reaching my potential.
Yeah.
The studio, you know, I'm very used to performing live in musicals. And so, you know, the studio as a whole, it's a very different element. But ultimately, we wanted to make sure that we were capturing the storytelling through the vocals as well, because that's very important to me. And having his presence was a huge blessing.
Yeah, it makes one wonder. I mean, I guess belting can't be taught, can it?
Well, it can, and it's certainly a technique that is developed with time. I've been singing for a very long time, and in musical theater, that's something that is very much called for nowadays. I'm lucky that I have that ability. Not everybody does, but it is something that you can definitely work on through vocal exercises, and when you're in the hands of a good coach, they can guide you to make sure that you're doing it in a healthy way. Often right. in the theater, we're subject to, we're vocal athletes, really. You know, you're subject to doing the same show 8 times a week over and over and over, and some of these songs are very challenging to sing, and if you don't have the proper technique and know about vocal health and how to maintain your voice, it can really do some damage. So, yeah, it's just about finding the right person that you trust and allowing them to help guide you.
Another song on the album, Moon Dance, that's the Van Morrison song. You performed that with Javier Muñiz. You've known him a long time, right?
I have, and I asked him to participate, and he jumped at it, and we just had such a blast again in the studio, sharing, you know, reconnecting and making music, and it's always such a pleasure, not just to perform with him, but to be around him. He is a light in the world.
It's such a great combination to hear your voices together, and yeah, I've got about half a dozen songs in my head that I'd like to hear the two of you perform.
well, throw them my way.
how did you come to decide that the song that you would do with him would be Moon Dance?
Well, it was just I heard his voice. I heard his voice as the male voice on there, and he's also, again, he's such a beautiful presence in the world, and, you know, I feel like when you're creative, you want to play in the sandbox with your friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was just such fun to be in a recording environment with him.
Did you first meet one another on In the Heights?
That's right. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. What I was going to ask about, I'll ask you about a few things that you've done in your career, but in the Heights, you originated the role of Carla. That was a show that I guess it's a sort of show that hadn't been seen before. And I'm wondering, when you were preparing that show, as you were all ready to go on, I guess it was off Broadway, then it went on to Broadway. Did you have a sense that this was going to hit as big as it did, say?
Well, I would say that we knew we were part of something very special, and that was always present in our development of the show. It's very hard to say whether a show will be successful, but we were absolutely in alignment with knowing that we were in a very special circumstance with a group of very special people. And so when the show... particularly from off-Broadway to Broadway, it's like we knew we had this jewel, this secret, that we couldn't wait for the world to experience. And when we made the move to Broadway and it was received the way it was just icing on the cake. And now with the movie being released, I think they just shifted the release date to summer of 2021.
Right, yeah.
The world will get to see and experience that show and its message and the beautiful music that that team created. So it's a very exciting time for the legacy of In the Heights.
Yeah, my parents are Filipino, and I remember when I first saw the show in Seattle. I mean, I was in tears. Just as it started, and it took me a while to figure out what it was, and I guess it was because I was watching something that I hadn't seen before on the stage, and it was completely relatable to my experience. I mean, I grew up in Vancouver, yet, you know, it's something that moved me as much as it did. I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm still thinking about it, or whenever I listen to the album, say, it's something that's, you know, it's more than a show.
Yes. It's, you know, that show is all heart, and you can replace the Latin culture with any culture, and it's a very human story. We see, you know, being Filipino, I'm sure you have the aunts who are like the women in the salon, or the grandmother that is beloved, or the parents who, you know, come to this country and are trying to make a better life for themselves and their children, and that reads across the board. And I think that's the reason why it resonates with so many people, because they see themselves on stage despite it being a Latin community. I have a friend named Jose Lana who he's a Filipino actor, and we did another show together called Wonderland. But I distinctly remember Jose saying to me that he sat in the audience holding his sister's hand and that they just cried because that was their family. And it's a really beautiful thing.
There are two songs on the album, Be True to Me and Saborami. Someone might be listening to us might recognize Saborami. I mean, Edie Gourmet, I guess, did it a number of years ago. Are they the same word? I don't speak Spanish, so are they the same words literally translated?
No, they're not literally translated, but it is the same messaging.
Yeah. There's something, though, about Saborami as opposed to Be True to Me, and I can't explain it. There's something rich about the way you perform that.
Thank you. Well, I was certainly trying to, make a distinction between the English version and its arrangement and the Spanish version and the intimacy of just voice and guitar. And, you know, I have that, the Saborami, on there as a bonus track, because it is a very sort of simple, intimate recording. And it was actually the first song that I laid down. And I think it's such a beautiful arrangement of that song. That was arranged by my incredibly virtuosic guitar and tres player, Ramon Stagnaro, who is, I would say, one of the industry's best. And he really laid the foundation for that song.
Yeah, again, maybe it's because I don't speak Spanish, but there's something about your recording of it Be True to Me is a wonderful record, but I mean, what you do in Saborami is just, I don't know if deeply felt is the right word, but, there's something so, just as I said a moment ago, just so rich about it and so appealing to the ear.
Thank you.
You were in the middle of the national tour for the band's visit when the world sort of stopped several weeks ago. What have you been doing through this unprecedented time?
Well, I'm very lucky. I feel so grateful, you know, that I'm out of harm's way and that you know, we're okay. We're trucking along. Just really trying to stay in the light and be present to what's happening in the world. You know, adhering to the regulations that science is telling us to adhere to and trying to do my part not to put others in harm's way as well. Just really being careful and, you know, trying to, you know, it's funny. I have been having several conversations with actors, because that's my sort of immediate group of friends. And in a way, we say that we've sort of been prepared for this sort of shutdown because our careers tend to be stop and go. Mm. And there are times where we're not employed for chunks of time. Mm. And we're used to this sort of, you know, downtime where there isn't much happening work-wise. So we're sort of equipped in a way, I would say, that a lot of the population isn't. So it's, again, really just trying to stay present and stay focused on positivity because there's so much going on in the world right now that's not. And that sort of energy, I think, is really important to hold on to get us through to the other side of this.
What's on your playlist as the weeks go by? I mean, That's the one thing that I've noticed talking to people, that music plays such a big part in how people cope during this time.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I always sort of resign to the things that I love. I'm a big Ella fan, and so she's always sort of making her rounds through my ears. I also love Juan Luis Guerra, who is a Latin composer and songwriter. His music is very, very joyful, and it's a really easy way to sort of shift your energy when you're feeling down or desperate. I feel like music is absolutely a key element to me in changing my mood. It has that ability. And so when I'm conscious and proactive in trying to sort of distinguish and change the way that I'm feeling, music is right where I go.
By the way, I mentioned the band's visit, and I saw on YouTube you perform Omar Sharif. I guess it was for a show promoting the tour. And was the Israeli accent, was that hard to learn?
It wasn't so much hard as it was. It's very specific, and yeah. I worked with an incredible vocal, again, another incredible vocal dialect coach, and she really helped in sort of picking out the parts that weren't sticking. She gave me like a handful of rules to follow, and then it really became about me just practicing. I was early on, I would walk around New York City and walk into cafes doing the accent, seeing if people were able to notice if I was, you know, that was my original, my real way of speaking or not. And it was a really fun way to sort of find my way in.
Yeah. I mean, you close your eyes as you're watching the video. And or listening to the video, and you know, it's just marvelous how not only you sound as a singer, but as you know, that accent is just it's spot on.
Well, thank you. I mean, the score of the band's visit is one of the most beautiful I think I've ever heard, and that song in particular is such an incredible song, and it's such a treat to be able to sing it every night.
You appeared in the Prince of Broadway. You were directed by Hal Prince. Was that his last show?
That was his last show.
Yeah. What is it like to be directed by him? I mean, one of the great directors of all time. I'm sort of wondering when he's directing you. Directors like that, I mean, is he telling you old stories about how, say, Cheetah did it or Patty did it as he's telling you what to do, say?
Yes, and I have to say that was the most wonderful part of the experience, is hearing the man himself tell the stories in his own words with that very distinct voice and manner of speaking. It was a really surreal experience, I would say. He's such a lover of the theater. Hal would come to basically almost every show. He would show up at the theater and announce himself over the PA. He would say, "The Prince is in the building." So we always looked forward to that right around our half-hour call. And, you know, the theater we were in order to get to the women's dressing room that we shared, you had to go up 6 flights of stairs. And he did it, boy. He would come up there and sit with us and tell us about his day and ask us how we were doing. So to have gotten to know him, even at the very tail end of his life, was just such a humbling experience and such an honor, really.
Yeah, I've seen interviews that he did quite up to close to his death, and he was in his 90s. He was quite sharp, wasn't he?
Oh yes, you know, and he didn't skip a beat. He directed. He was there at every rehearsal. He would have us running the show at 10 a.m., which is quite challenging when you're a vocalist. But, you know, it's just what you did, and you wanted his approval, and you wanted him to be happy with your work. And so, you know, we had an incredible cast of actors, and, you know, everyone was just so thrilled to be in the room with him. And Susan Stroman, who was also part of the project and co-directed with Hal, they were a great team, and yeah, it was really, really something else.
And then as you're performing, say, Ava Perone, or the song that you did, I guess, what were the two parts?
So for the Ava track, I sang Buenos Aires,
right,
and that went straight into Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Those songs are back-to-back.
And then you did Aurora from Kiss of the Spider-Woman, right?
Aurora,
yeah,
from Kiss of the Spider-Woman, and I sang Possibilities from the
Superman
show. Yeah, that's right, Bird is Planet Superman.
When you're doing those, you know, you're obviously also in the costume. Do you think to yourself, you know, I'd like to do the rest of the show, say?
Oh, my goodness, yes, of course. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, these are all such iconic shows.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's the basis of musical theater. And so just really to have the opportunity to step into the shoes for whatever time it was, you can't help but envision the entire journey of those characters when you're in the middle of singing those songs.
So are there other roles that you'd like to do, say?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. But, you know, I have to say I've been very fortunate to be part of original creations, and it really is my favorite because, you know, there are things that are innate in you that go into the creation of those characters, and it's the most fun.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's how people remember the roles is, you know, who they saw do it the first time, I guess, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, what do you tell people who look to you and see someone who is able to do what they love as a career? I mean, people must come up to you asking advice and say, how do you get to where you are, say?
Well, it's certainly, you know, it looks very glamorous, and at times it is, but it's a lot of work. And you have to put your time in, and you have to do the work. And, you know, it's a very highly competitive field. And I also say, if you can do anything else, do that. Because this is not for the faint of heart. And you do this because you don't have a choice. It's sort of your calling, and you have to love it that much in order to stay in the game when it gets challenging.
Yeah, I mean, it's great advice in terms of not just for a life in the theater, but life itself, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. This is a marvelous album. I so appreciate your time, taking the time to talk about it. It's a great debut, and it's got me certainly, and I'm sure a lot of people who listen to it, waiting for the next one. Thanks for this.
Well, thank you so much for listening. I encourage all your listeners to go out and get it, My Standards by Janet DeCarl. It's available on all of the platforms. So Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, it's out there. So get it and enjoy. It's a great album to have during this time to lift your spirits.
And all the best. Thanks for this.
Thank you so much. Be well and stay safe.
The website for more is at janetdecarl.com. The album, My Standards, is from Ghostlight Records. Janet DeCarl joined me on the line from Florida in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.